have Jules speaking with us, bringing God's word to us. And we really appreciate him, his family, Chalk Farm Baptist Church. Let's give Jules a real warm, warm welcome. God bless you, Jules.
Stay with me one moment. Thank you. What a blessed privilege and honor it is to be here and to lift the name of the Lord and to praise Him together as brothers and sisters. Isn't it great? I am glad to be here. Are you glad to be in the house of the Lord? Are you glad?
Yes.
Now let's try it. This side first. Are you glad?
Yes.
Now there's a standard set. Forget it. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. It's good to be in this sanctuary. You can turn anywhere into a sanctuary or a house of the Lord. You can turn your living room, you can turn your office, you can turn your house, you can turn a school into a house of the Lord, amen, a sanctuary. You can turn a prison cell into a sanctuary. Those who read the Bible carefully will see in the book of Acts chapter 16, Paul and Silas turned a prison cell into a sanctuary and birthing the first church in Philippi, amen. And if I may joke, I may say, you can turn your WC into a place of worship. Worship Christ. W, you got it. You got it. I have a habit. One thing I love doing before we read the Word of God is, I picked it up from what happened with Ezra. We read in the book of Nehemiah chapter 8 verse 5. He says, and Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people. And when he opened it, all the people stood up. Would you please stand up with me and we will read from the book of Matthew chapter 13. I believe my dear brother with the wonderful technology has got it on the screen. Ready? Read. Jesus told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while everyone was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed wheat among the wheat and went away. When the wheat sprouted and formed heads, then the wheat also appeared. The owner's servants came to him and said, sir, didn't you sow good seed in your field? Where then did the wheat come from? An enemy did this, he replied. The servants asked him, do you want us to go and pull them up? No, he answered. Because while you are pulling the wheat, you may root up the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. At that time, I will tell the harvesters, first collect the wheat and tie them in bundles to be burned. Then gather the wheat and bring it into my barn. Father, we thank you. We give you praise and glory for your word. Lord, we pray that today we will be delivered, that somebody will have his miracle. Father, we pray that we will have a breakthrough. And Lord, we thank you for setting us free, that we may know your truth that sets us free indeed. In the name of Jesus, we pray, Father, open up our minds to your word. And open up your word to our minds and hearts, that we may receive it and be blessed. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. You may go ahead, be seated. God is literally unimaginable. His ways are so far above our ways. Whatever you can picture in your mind falls short of who he is. Our greatest thinkers, theologians, philosophers, fall short of explaining God. He is indescribable. He cannot be boxed in. Too marvelous for words, one songwriter wrote. Beyond our wildest oratorical ability, he is supernatural, mind-blowing. He is awesome. We sing a song, our God is an awesome God. We may speak with any tongue, yet still we cannot articulate his gracious ways. He is God, all by himself, not elected, absolute, immutable, in total control. He can do anything. The creator of the universe. The Lord has never asked a question that he could not answer. The Lord has never thought of anything that he could not create. He's never wished for anything that he did not come into existence. The Lord has so much power in him that when he opens his mouth and speaks of something, it becomes whatever he spoke it to be. He is the Lord, the living God. He has never seen an obstacle that he couldn't move out of the way. When you start talking about the Lord, heaven and earth adore him. They all honor him and bow before him. Read the book of Revelations. Both those that are dead and living shall come out and acknowledge him to be the Lord of all. If we keep silent, the Bible says, the stone will immediately cry out and praise him in our place instead. The heavens are telling the glory of God. The trees and the seas clap their hands in the presence of the Lord. And the birds wake up singing for his own entertainment and enjoyment. He was God before there was anybody there to tell him he was God. Amen. He was God before any music was ever composed, any song was ever written to acknowledge him, he was God. He was God before anybody could ever praise him as God. When you start talking about the Lord, the royal diadem and the hosts of heaven, they prostrate in his presence because he is the Lord of all glory. He is the captain of the hosts. He is the commanding general of the Lord's army. He can clap his hands and call legions of angels to a battlefield. He is the all-sufficient one, the all-capable one. He is omniscient, all-knowing. What scientists are trying in struggles to figure out, God already knows and understands. He is the author of creation. That's our God. The claims, statements, and decrees of men do not change his truths. Before any nation and government could ever be formed, his government existed and his institutions established. That's God. Before the intelligence and wisdom of man was locked up, God is wisdom. He is wisdom. He is wisdom. Tell somebody, he is wisdom. All the louder. He watches over you while you are awake. He watches over you while you are asleep. He protects you. You don't even know. You were driving down the motorway. He spared you from some crash. You don't even know. Amen. Once I lost control of my car on the motorway, I just panicked and then I didn't know how I got back in my lane. That wasn't me. But I didn't dare to tell my wife. Amen? Particularly she was in the car with me. You know what I mean? The argument that goes on between husband and wife in the car. How bad drivers we are when we drive. Oh Lord. Oh Lord. Whether we appreciate him or not, whether we reckon it or not, He is God. He is at all places at the same time. And He is in all times at the same time. Did you get that one? I hope so. He is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. He is more powerful than any powerful leader in the world. More powerful than any power in this world. You name it, electrical, physical, hydraulic, sonic, atomic power, nuclear power. He is more powerful than the witches, the exes, the curses, spells, generational curses, bondages, underworld, of the world, and in the world. He is more powerful. That's God. Can you shout amen?
Amen.
Oh God. He is my everything. My king. My peace. My defense, my joy, my provider, my healer, my deliverer, my defender, my high tower, my counselor, my comforter, my redeemer, my savior, my lord, my shepherd, my advisor, my attorney, my contentment, my life. He is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. He was and He is to come. Prince of Peace, Wonderful Counselor. He is God. Amen.
Amen.
Oh God. Quite often we come to church, we are so busy jumping into the Word of God and trying to preach our own intelligence. Let's take a moment just to praise His attributes. Amen. Jesus, the express image of God, a teacher, no like other. He's come now to teach us about the truth of the kingdom of His Father. So He says, the kingdom of heaven is like. Matthew 13. The kingdom of heaven is like. The mystery of the gospel hid in God, in His counsels and decrees from the beginning of the world. Ephesians chapter 3 says this, although I am less than the least of all God's people, this grace was given me to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ and to make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery, which for ages past was kept hidden in God who created all things. His intent was that now through the church, Paul speaking, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms according to His eternal purpose, which He accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. This verse talks about the manifold wisdom of God. If you have only one layer of wisdom, God has manifold layers of wisdom. You see it here, you see it there. It goes down. We cannot even measure it. And this is what Paul is talking about. The manifold wisdom of God. Try to picture it on your mind. That's God. We talk about wisdom. Think of the manifold of wisdom of God. God is beyond human comprehension. He can't be reduced down to human reasoning, which we often like to do. Christ has come down to our level to communicate the truths of the kingdom of heaven. Our mind has become thick and slow. Christ has to use earthly parallels, metaphors and similes and comparisons and a series of parables to do good to our souls. He spoke in parables in Matthew chapter 13. But when we jump to verse 36, I just want to take a moment here. It says, then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house. And His disciples came to Him saying, explain to us the parable of the tares and the wheat. NIV version says they came to him and said, explain to us the parable of the weeds in the field. Explain it to us. Explain it to us. It is to be feared. Many of them went away no wiser than they came. It is sad to think how many go away from fellowship, sermons, preaching, teaching, with the word of grace in the ears, but not the work of grace in their hearts. No wonder we see Christians going through kind of different kind of low level stuff. And we even wonder if they are Christians or not. They come to church, but they never let the word of God change them. They come and return no wiser as they came. I hope this is not the case for us today, here in this place, in this sanctuary. Explain to us, the disciples of Jesus asked of him. Let me say one thing here. Be not ashamed to inquire from man or God. And I believe here we have some young people still in education. I retired, you see, from it. No, just kidding. When you don't understand your lesson, what do? Go back to the teacher, ask again. You don't understand the preaching, come, grab the preacher's sleeve, ask again. The more and more we realize Christians come to church and walk out of the church without understanding the message and sometimes misinterpreting the message they heard. You hear your own message, but you don't even recognize it, the preacher. The disciples, they came. Let's learn something from these guys. They came back to Jesus. Lord, we did not get it. Tell us, what exactly do you mean? Don't be ashamed of it. In fact, they say intelligent people, learned people, are never afraid or ashamed to ask questions. Touch your neighbor. Preach to your neighbor. Say, ask. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed. Can we say seed? Try like me. Seed. My friend says it that way. Seed. Good seed. Let's say it. Good seed. He sowed what? God sees the seed. Man sees the producers of it. God sees a seed. Man sees a tree. We fail to recognize that the power is in the seed. We love seeing the produce of the seed and forgetting the seed. But when you have the seed, you have it all. The tree is in the seed. Small beginnings. Great things in little small things. Greatness in smallness. Are you a humble believer? Do you go down like John who says, that I decrease, you Christ increase? Verse 24 says, good seed. Verse 25, but. Can we say but? But. Is there but on the King New NIV versions here? Never mind. But. I'm reading from King James here. But. While men slept. Do you sleep? Who doesn't? Anybody? Jonathan?
He loves his sleep.
We all do sleep. We sleep. And the Bible tells us, while men slept, his enemy. Not the enemy alone. Not the enemy of the seed. His enemy. The enemy of the sower. The enemy of the master came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. Good seed. as the disciples came to Jesus to inquire, the Lord to explain this parable to them, he said, the good seed sower, this is Christ. The enemy of the master, his enemy, the devil, is the bad seed sower. I tell you one thing, Satan watches and seeks all opportunities to do harm. If we can have Job scripture on the screen, we will see something about Satan. Think of that. One day the angel came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also. Are you with me? Oh yeah, let's read it together. Let's try again. One day the Lord said to Satan, where have you come from? Satan answered the Lord, roaming. That's what he does. That's what Satan does. But we see the conversation going on here. But one thing I want to say here is, God answered Satan, said, did you see Job? Righteous man. When you go down, this verse, you see that. Yeah. He's a blameless and upright, a man who fears God. God talks proudly about you. Do you know that? Before the accuser of the brethren, God knows you. He knows Brother Robert. He knows my dear sister, Anieka. Happy birthday in advance. God knows. Not because we are upright and blameless by ourselves, but the blood of Jesus has made us righteous. When God looks at us, he sees us through Jesus. It's not my own righteousness, but the righteousness of Christ Jesus, my Lord, that makes me a righteous person, that makes me a holy person, that makes me a saint. And since God speaks proudly about Job, he does about you and I before the enemy. But we see that the enemy hovers. He's there going back and forth. He's not busy, is he? While you're sleeping, he's busy still. He's going everywhere, seeking all opportunities to do harm. We need, therefore, to be sober and vigilant. Amen? Be sober and vigilant. He is at work. The enemy went away, that it might not be known who did it. That's why the disciples came to the master and said, you sow good seed. They were not aware that the enemy has been there while they were sleeping. Well, we all need to sleep, do we? I love my good sleep. I tell my family, when I sleep, I die. Don't resuscitate me. No CPR. And after a hard, long day, who would disagree about the need of a good sleep? When you send everybody away, you lock the bedroom door. If there is no bed, you find a chair. If there is no chair, you find a stool without back. And yet, if none of that is there, you just sleep standing. Oh, I've done it, I know. I was young and I thought I can keep the sleep away for 48 hours. And then I was traveling on a train. It's just that kind of day you jump on a train from Hong Kong to mainland China, and I couldn't find any seat when I needed one. And I was clinging on the bar to keep standing, but my eyes were closing. It's a debt I had to pay. The creditors were closing down on me. The taxman said, you owe us some sleep money. And before I knew it, I was on my knees and I stood up as quickly as I went down so that no one could see. After a hard day, we fall asleep. We sleep and the enemy comes. Don't you wonder that I'm doing everything right? Why is that I'm going through all this? Don't you wonder your own children, for parents here, who have grown up children? I brought him or brought her up well, but yet this child today doesn't know God. Don't you wonder that you've done everything, so to speak, by the book? and you are struggling with your own children, or you married a good person before, and down the line this person becomes unrecognizable by yourself, the enemy comes in the night when nobody knows. You ask yourself a question, why do bad things happen to good people? The enemy comes in the night when we do not see him. The servants here of the master did not see him come. He came and planted his bad seed and went away. Secrecy. There is a great deal of secret wickedness. Long heed under the visible until maturation. The Bible says this in Matthew 13. I go back there. 26. When the grain had sprouted and produced a crop, then only in maturation, and the servants came complaining. But thank God, the master who represents Jesus does not blame you or I. The master does not blame the servants. They could not help it. Sometimes you blame yourself for things that go wrong. It's none of your business. Do you know that? The master did not complain to the servants. What did you put in the ground to have tares or weeds? But thank God, he doesn't lay blame upon us. He doesn't. Jesus, in a sense, was controversial in his teaching. And sometimes we come to church, we hear a word of God as it is presented us. We wonder, is it really true? But think of the manifold wisdom. 27. So the servants of the owner came and said to him, Sir, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have tares? He said to them, An enemy has done this. The servants said to him, Do you want us then to go and gather them up? Do you want us to go and pull them up? He says what? No means what? Good. No means no. Because with some people, particularly I see that, if a parent will tell a child no, but it's not really a no, when you say no, mean it. Amen? And when you say a yes, mean it. Discipline. The parent says no, but in the end, it was yes. Well, you know what I mean. The master says what? No. No. In another terms, let me say this in my own simple, digested version. Don't touch it. Leave it. Tell the neighbor, leave it. Yeah, leave it. We are in a generation where we are told to do things and keep on doing, and we are measured and assessed and calculated and quantified and qualified by what we do. Do and do, fix it, sort it out, deal with it. The master says what? No, leave it. It is hard in our times today to leave things alone. Leave it. Leave it. That's the word I'm bringing to you today. What? Leave it. Leave it. Leave it. Pretty hard, isn't it? Imagine you were one of the servants. And there you are, you've done a pretty good job. It was a good job because at the end of the day, they felt tired, needing sleep. And there, time came. Weeds, tares, among the good stuff. Would you not be tempted to go and uproot them? That's what we do. It is hard to ask when the Lord says, no. No. Lord, are you sure I should just wait? We were singing a song, I'll wait for you, Lord. Oh, I will wait for you. Do we really wait? We say, Lord, I'm waiting on you. Lord, I'm waiting on you. Wait. Say, yeah, I'm waiting, Lord. I'm waiting. I'm just waiting. Leave it. Wait. Wait. And wait. What is your tendency? You have a tendency to be doing things, or you have a tendency now in Christ to wait. To wait. You write a letter somewhere and you are waiting for the reply. And then they promise you they will send you a reply within a week. At the end of the week, you begin to have palpitations. Your blood pressure begins to rise up. Well, will I get this job offer or not? They promised in a week. Now it's 7 days and 2 hours. Maybe I need to give them a call. No, maybe I need to write to them. And these days, I can send them an email. And if you are better than I, you can send them a tweet or a Twitter. Say it again. A tweet. Ah, yeah. I only have a phone that can make a call and receive one. That's it. I don't know Skype. I don't know. Forgive me, I'm old generation sometimes. Wait. Do you have a situation that is bothering you? Wait. Leave it to God in prayer. Preach again to your neighbor. Leave it alone. Don't touch it. The enemy may come. Don't you worry. Everything is under God's control. Everything. Everything. Everything under God's control. If only we can begin to believe that. Lord, my housing under control. My employment under control. My family under control. Lord, yes, I struggle with this person, but Lord, I leave it to you in prayer. Trusting God. Faith goes as far. Trusting God while we wait by His word. God is kind. God knew that Jews is a lazy man. And He provided this verse, wait. What is your attitude when you are waiting for a bus at the bus stop? I'm trying to bring it home, you see. Wait. Verse 30. Let. Can you see that? Somewhere here. Wow. Can we read together? Let the manifold wisdom of God, Paul talks about, by wanting to do and do, we can undo, we can uproot what needs to remain grounded. The wisdom of God is the teacher of the teachers. The enemy may come alongside God's good seed. The enemy brings his bad seed. The enemy brings trouble to you. In fact, when you do good stuff, the enemy will increase a level of attack against you. Don't you find yourself the moment you were really filled with the Holy Ghost, you are in prayer, you are rejoicing. It may take just one phone call to take you down. One phone call. Just one. Remember Prophet Elijah, the man who called fire to come down. But just by the sound of a woman, the king's wife, threatening him. She was not going after him. It was just a threat. The man ran away and was depressed. Lord, kill me. Lord, kill me. The level of glory you go into, the level of attack the enemy brings. The Bible says, even when angels go to the Lord, Satan also goes. When a good seed is planted, he comes in the night while you are not aware. He plants the bad one. What do? Lovely. Leave it to God. I come to the conclusion of my message. The battle is the Lord's. It's not yours. That's why when we have the victory, we give praise to Him. The battle is the Lord's. Thank God for everything. Thank God for your family, your brothers, your sisters, your parents, if you have them, your children. Men like to do something, but sometimes do nothing. That's what is required of you from the Lord. And again, I will say this. We think we have to fix everything and everybody. Not only things, but people. But leave it to God. Amen? God is able. He will fix it himself. Wait on him. Wait on him. Seek God's strategy. For every struggle, God has a strategy. Obey God's strategy. He will finish it. All is covered in his plan. And do nothing, just give him the praise. Wait. Praise God. Praise him. And wait. Let's stand. God is faithful to pay his bill. Amen. Let's praise him. Let's praise God. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. As the musicians are getting ready so that we can praise him together, let's lift up our voices together. Just begin to thank him. Let's begin to praise him. You might need to say, Lord, I'm sorry for running ahead of you. But Lord, thank you. And now I know that all I need to do is just to wait upon you, to wait for you. Just to wait. That I am not alone. I am not abandoned. I am not forsaken. I am not forgotten. Lord, now I know that you take your time. Even though your silence is agonizing to us, but Lord, teach us to wait. Who likes waiting? Thank you.